Well, it has been quite a year thus far, brethren. I think we have no disagreement there. When the year began, we didn't foresee a pandemic or the economic blow that would bring about. We did not think about race riots and protests being in the news every night for almost a month now. None of us living have seen times like these. But we shouldn't be too surprised, should we? Because we know times like these are prophesied in the last days. And so the more that we see our age erupting in turmoil, we can see the prophecies of scriptures begin to come into sharper focus. There are lessons in these ancient prophecies for us today that we could look at and find lessons that apply directly to our day today. Ezekiel's prophecy is a case in point. So we're going to look at Ezekiel today and apply the lessons of his prophecy to us. I think we're all fairly familiar with the story of Ezekiel, but as background, Ezekiel was a captive among the Jews. He was of the house of Judah. And he was in Babylon after the fall of Judah. He was a prisoner there where his prophecies took place. And Judah fell in about 587 BC, fell to Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. And he prophesies, as we will see, to both the house of Judah and to the house of Israel. And that's very important for us to remember by way of background that Ezekiel prophesied to both the house of Judah and the house of Israel. Well, why is that important? Well, the thing is that Israel, the house of Israel, had been taken captivity 130 plus years prior to Ezekiel's prophecy. So they weren't even in the picture. Ezekiel was in Babylon and the house of Israel was nowhere around. They'd already been taken out of the land over 130 years prior. But he's called to prophesy to the house of Israel. What does that tell us, brethren? That means that this message is applicable to us today. In the modern sense, the house of Israel today. I think we're also familiar that Ezekiel was called to be a watchman. We know what that means. Called to be a watchman who sounds the alarm. I think in our Church of God teaching and what we preach about, we often hear that we are like a watchman. We are like Ezekiel, who is sounding a warning because there is judgment that is coming on our land. And so we're called as watchmen, like Ezekiel, to sound the warning to our peoples today. One of the other themes of the book of Ezekiel that I'm going to focus in on today is something that is fairly unique to Ezekiel's prophecy. If you'll begin turning with me, by the way, to Ezekiel chapter 9. We're going to look at a verse there. Ezekiel chapter 9, and we'll see something that is rather unique to Ezekiel's prophecy. Other prophets mention bloodshed, but Ezekiel seems to mention quite a bit. Bloodshed, blood, the bloody land, the bloody city, as we'll see today. He mentions this quite a bit. There's something in that for us, brethren. There's a message for us to understand what that means. So if we look at Ezekiel 9 and verse 9, let's look at this verse. As Ezekiel's quoting what God says to him, "Then he said to me, 'The iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceedingly great, and the land is full of bloodshed, and the city full of perversity. And they say, the Lord has forsaken the land, and the Lord does not see.'" Well, here we see a couple of things, brethren. As I mentioned, the prophecy is going to both the house of Israel and the house of Judah. But we also see that the land is full of bloodshed. We're going to see what this means for us today. And I'm actually titling this sermon, "The Land of Bloodshed." The Land of Bloodshed is the title of this message today. What we are witnessing in our world today, in our land today, is physical bloodshed. We're actually seeing that. We see it on the news. We see it in our news feeds every day. Bloodshed, bloodshed is in our land. That is quite certain. But there is also a spiritual aspect to bloodshed that we are going to examine today, because Ezekiel, on God's behalf, is calling Israel out for being guilty of bloodshed. What does that mean? In the land of bloodshed, what does this mean? Now turn with me, if you would, over to Ezekiel chapter 22. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 22 and look here. We're going to go through this chapter today and see the message that applies for us. Let's just start here. I'll read the first couple of verses. If you will read along with me, Jerry will have it up there. Moreover, verse 1 and 2 of Ezekiel 2, the word of the Lord came to me saying, now, son of man, will you judge the bloody city? Yes, show her all her abominations. So will you judge it? Yes, you will judge it. You will show her abominations. As we know, Ezekiel was called to show Israel and to show the house of Judah their sins. He was called to do that. This ancient prophecy, brethren, applies for us today. As we've seen, the house of Israel was not in Ezekiel's view at that time in any way. Where is the house of Israel today? Well, we look at the world and we see where the house of Israel is today. We're going to look today at this chapter of Ezekiel's prophecy and apply the lessons. This chapter, by the way, contains that famous verse that many ministries refer to, the stand in the gap verse. I'll call it the stand in the gap verse, as is also in this chapter of Ezekiel. So what God begins to do here in Ezekiel 22 is to bring an indictment against Israel that really describes our nation today. Let's look at this, starting in verse 3. Thus says the Lord God, verse 3 now, the city sheds blood in her own midst, that her time may come, and she makes idols within herself to defile herself. The time of Israel, the time of the house of Israel, is her end. That's what God is talking about. Her time may come. For you, verse 4, have become guilty by the blood which you have shed, and have defiled yourselves with the idols which you have made. You have caused your days to draw near, and you have come to the end of your years. And therefore, I have made you a reproach to the nations and a mockery to all countries. Now, doesn't that apply to us today, where we have built a nation that is not founded on godly principles? I mean, our founders did have godly principles, but where do we see our nation today? Where is it? Where is God today in our nation? Well, we've taken him out of our nation today and have become guilty of bloodshed, defiling ourselves with the idols that we have made. And this has caused our days to draw near. This is what God is telling the house of Israel. You have come to the end of your years, and therefore I've made you a reproach and a mockery to all the countries. Our nation is on a collision course with her end. In the eyes of the world today, we do look wealthy and powerful, but the world also sees that we have a lot of problems. We have a lot of problems in our country today. And the world is taking notes. They can see what the house of Israel is like. We are on a collision course with the end of our years, as Ezekiel is calling out to the house of Judah and the house of Israel here. Those, verse 5, near and far from you will mock you as infamous and full of tumult. Full of tumult, full of rioting, full of protesting, full of wrath and indignation, all kinds of manner of fighting that goes on. Nations will see. This chapter of Ezekiel, chapter 22, is really divided into three sections as we go through it. And this first section is like an indictment. So I'm going to make a point using this first section that what Israel is guilty of is ignoring God. Israel is guilty of ignoring God. And Ezekiel's message is a warning of impending danger because she is ignoring God. He is a watchman for that house of Israel. I'll keep your place here in Ezekiel chapter 22, and we're going to go over to Ezekiel 3 for a moment. So make a marker there in Ezekiel 22 and come with me over to Ezekiel 3. I think I've already mentioned, and you know well, that Ezekiel was called to be a watchman. In our Church of God instruction and our teaching, we talk about that quite often. The work of the watchman. So let's look at a few verses about that work of the watchman. He says in Ezekiel chapter 3, this is Ezekiel's charge from God. In verse 17 here, a few verses here in chapter 3. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them a warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Ezekiel would be guilty of their blood if he did not warn them of the impending danger. Verse 19 now. Yet, if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. He'll die just the same, because he didn't hear, and he didn't turn, but you have delivered your soul. Ezekiel would be free from their blood. He would not have the guilt of Israel's bloodshed on him. Well, today, brethren, the guilt of bloodshed has fallen on the head of Israel, on the head of the nation itself, because the nation has ignored God. And today, whether we are the ones who are called to witness and be a part of that warning message, or whether we are the ones who hear the warning message, we are guilty of blood if we ignore it. Whether we're called to be a part of the message or whether we are called to hear, and we're really called to be both, to hear it and to be a part of it. But if we ignore it, we're guilty of blood. I hope you kept your place in Ezekiel 22, but we're not going back there just yet. I'm going to have you turn over to Acts chapter 20, the book of Acts chapter 20. And this is where the Apostle Paul comes and meets the Ephesian brethren for one last time. He had spent much time with the Ephesian brethren in previous years, and he was coming to see them, but he wasn't able to come directly to Ephesus because he was making a beeline for Jerusalem. He was trying to get to Jerusalem, but he wanted to see the Ephesians brethren. So he stopped at a place called Miletus, and you can see that in Acts 20. Verse 17, where he came to them in Miletus, and the elders of Ephesus came to visit him there. And so he says to them, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. Why is Paul innocent of the blood? Because I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. So he's free of their blood. He is not guilty of the blood of anyone because he has declared the whole counsel of God. And brethren, if we do not warn the world with our message, then we are also guilty of bloodshed. Few of us, like Paul, actually go and do the public work of proclamation to preach to the world, but we are a part of that message because we are a part of this church. that has that message and has that mission to go and warn the world. And that's what we're doing. We preach the gospel in our lives by how we live. And we do our part in the church of God. We are all part of this warning message. And I can guarantee you, brethren, that the spotlight is going to show on the church. We have to keep ourselves on course. We have to continue to believe the truth and do the work of preaching this message. And as we do that, the spotlight is going to shine on us. We are going to be targets. I think we're seeing that more and more today. If we stand for truth and righteousness, the enemy is going to find us, and they are going to come after us. Our message to the world is one of warning. And we live the gospel by the way we live our lives and being part of this effort in these last days to warn the world. We must stay unified and focused on the goal of preaching and teaching. Israel ignored God. Now let's come back to Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel 22, continuing here with God's indictment of Israel. I'm going to start there in verse 6. Israel had ignored God. She was guilty of bloodshed. And the indictment continues. Look, he says in verse 6, the princes of Israel, each one has used his power to shed blood in you. So now we know what that means. We're denying God or ignoring God. And the princes of Israel are the leaders of the nation. And are the leaders of our nation upholding the word of God? Are they preaching the word of God? Are they doing the word of God? They've used their power to shed blood in you. Now we know what that means, because if we don't warn, if we don't teach and preach this message, their blood will come on our heads. In you, he says in verse 7, they have made light of father and mother. In you, in your midst, they have oppressed the stranger. In you, they have mistreated the fatherless and the widow. Israel has ignored God. And there follows then, continuing then in verse 8, you also have despised my holy things and profaned my Sabbaths. We know what this means, brother. We know exactly what this means. When we see the word of God, we're convinced of the Sabbath day, that we need to keep the Sabbath day. But our world despises that day. They don't keep that day. But we look at it as a holy day. And that's why we're here today, because we're absolutely convinced of that. But the world has despised this day. In you, verse 9, it continues, you are men who slander to cause bloodshed. And there it is again, bloodshed in the land. In you are those who eat bread or eat on the mountains. And that's a reference to idolatry in the ancient land of Israel. They worshiped on the high places and made sacrifice on those mountains to their gods. And in your midst, they commit lewdness. In your midst, they commit lewdness. So the next few verses follow on with some sexual sins that are in the nation today. Do we see that in our country today? Do we see lewdness in our country taking God's design for marriage, the covenant of marriage, and just basically throwing it out? And taking sexual norms and whatever you decide, that's what you are. If you decide, I was born a man, but I am a woman, that's accepted today. And that's upheld. We see a lot of that, brethren. Sexual lewdness. In you, they take bribes, verse 12, to shed blood. You take usury and increase, verse 12, and profit from your neighbors and have forgotten me. So we see shedding blood is all through this indictment. In fact, 7 times in the first section here, blood or bloody or bloodshed is mentioned. This is unique to Ezekiel's message. The judgment is coming, And it's coming because our people have decided to live their own way apart from God, and judgment is coming. There's going to be a lot of bloodshed. A lot of lives are going to be lost. And that's what is angering God, because he sees the potential in mankind if they would only obey his word. If we could only start living God's way of life. But what do we see? A nation that completely ignores God and puts him completely out of the picture. So judgment is coming. Then he asks, verse 14, can your heart endure? Or can your hands remain strong in the days when I shall deal with you? Are you going to be strong in those days? I think we understand the answer. You cannot stand against the judgment of God. And this is really coming on us because of our own sins. So Israel has ignored God. Let's come to the second point, to the second section of Ezekiel chapter 22. Israel has become worthless to God. Why has she become worthless? So what does God liken her to? He likens her to the dross that's produced in smelting silver. So he says in verse 17 and 18, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, the house of Israel has become dross to me. They are like bronze and tin, all of them, like bronze, tin, iron, and lead in the midst of a furnace. They've become dross from silver. Dross from silver. So if you're refining silver, you put the silver ore into the furnace, you put it on high heat, and you expect silver to come out and the dross to be removed. What does God find when he puts us into the furnace? Nothing but dross. That's what he finds. There's nothing of value there. Webster's dictionary defines dross as the scum or unwanted material that forms on the surface of molten metal. It's worthless. It's thrown away. And this is a parable now of being smelted, of ore being smelted in a furnace, leaving no silver, only dross. And this is because the sins of Israel have become so pervasive. And they infect the land from top to bottom, as we'll see in the next section of the chapter here. After all that God had done for Israel since their beginning, what did he have left? Nothing of value. He had done everything to bring them out of Egypt through the wilderness, put them in their land, help them fight their battles, establish them as a nation, and really a great nation in that age. And what was left? Nothing of value here. Well, God does try us by our trials, as a silversmith tries the metal ore to get the silver from it. God is also trying us, and he's looking for purity in us. That's what he wants. Trials, as we know, reveal the purity of our character. And there's a good scripture we can refer to. It's 1 Peter 1. We're familiar with this. I'll read it to you. Now for a little while. This is 1 Peter 1 and verse 6. If need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what God wants when he puts us through trials or allows us to go through trials. And Israel was producing nothing of value. And that's what we see in our nation today. So God pronounces judgment on them, as we see in verse 20. This is the judgment that's coming, verse 20, or a description, another description of the judgment. Verse 20 of Ezekiel 22. As men gather silver, bronze, iron, and lead, and tin into the midst of the furnace to blow fire on it, to melt it, so I will gather you in my anger and in my fury. I'm going to gather up all that dross, and I'm going to put you in the furnace, and I will leave you there and melt you. That's what he's saying. I'm going to put you into the fiery furnace. That's what he's telling our nation. And I'm going to leave you there. The true character of our nation will come out then. And I think we're seeing that today as we go through trials, as we've been through the pandemic. then all of a sudden the race riots began and the protests began and a lot of bickering back and forth and bloodshed literally in our streets. We're seeing that after having gone through that trial. Well, the day of judgment is coming upon us and it will reveal the character of our nation, as it already is happening. And now we come to the third point, or the third part of this chapter of Ezekiel 22. And point number three, or section number three, shows us that no one in Israel wants to hear. No one. And I should qualify that and say almost no one, because we know there are a few and we're among them who are hearing. But for the most part, no one wants to hear. They've ignored God's message, won't hear it, and the result is corruption that goes to the entire land. And so this next section of Ezekiel 22 describes the corruption that is in the land from top to bottom. As God says here, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, say to her, verse 24, you are a land that is not cleansed or rained on in the day of indignation. So you go through your troubles and it doesn't cleanse you. It doesn't purify you in the day of indignation. So then he starts now with the prophets, telling them of their corruption. Verse 25, a conspiracy of her prophets is in her midst, like a roaring lion tearing the prey, so destroying people. They essentially are tearing at people, devouring them. They've taken precious things, and they've many, many widows in the land. If you take the word of God and blind the nation to the word of God, what's going to happen? The word of God will be hid. The treasures and the wealth of knowledge and the word of God won't be there. It won't be there. They've taken that treasure and precious things, as the verse says, and made many widows in her midst. And the result is devastating. Next come the priests. Verse 26, her priests have violated my law, have profaned my holy things. They have not distinguished between the holy and the unholy. And they have made not made known the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they have hidden their eyes from my Sabbath so that I am profaned among them. So we see the word of God is not being taught in Israel. And this definitely applies to our nation today. The law of God, as it is truly to be applied and practiced in our lives, is not being taught in our nation today, except to a very few who are listening. Instead, the traditions of men are entrenched. They even hide their eyes from God's Sabbaths. You know, they, even though the scriptures clearly show the Sabbath is to be kept, they hide their eyes from it. They don't want to see it. They don't want to see the truth. And then he comes to the princes, to the leaders of the people in verse 27. Her princes in her midst are like wolves tearing the prey to shed blood. And there again, the reference to shedding blood, to destroy the people and to get honest, dishonest gain. They're like the priests who are devouring and destroying the people. They ignore God. And the result is that the people are destroyed. So what we see in our world today is a society that perpetuates a system of values, of entertainment, of commerce that enriches the princes, enriches the leaders of the land, but it's not good for the people. And we look at our world today, brethren, we see the entertainment values in our world today and the cultures in our world today. And what do we see? That it's not good for the people. And all this all sounds very negative. And in that respect, it is. But God is trying to warn us to turn from these things as a nation. So what do the prophets do? Instead of warning, they prophesy lies, as he says in verse 28, with untempered mortar. They plaster them over. They, you know, they kind of patch things up with untempered mortar. What we see today is that the churches are adapting to the social norms to appease the people. The untempered mortar that doesn't really build up the society, but it allows it to be torn down. And then he comes in verse 29 to the people themselves. The people of the land have used oppressions, committed robbery, and mistreated the poor and the needy, and wrongfully oppressed the stranger. There's no moral standard upheld. So all the people are in effect running to shed innocent blood. So that's what God sees, because he sees the judgment that's coming. And he wants us to declare to the people, if you don't turn from your wickedness, judgment is coming. We need to preach to the world that they need to turn. We don't have to be harsh or bitter about it. We just have to proclaim the truth as we do. As Paul says, proclaim the whole counsel of God. And now we come to that famous stand in the gap verse in verse 30. As Paul says, so I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. It's not that there isn't someone willing to stand there, as we are willing, but the people are not going to listen. They're not going to pay any attention. And so there's no one who could lead this people, because they won't turn to God. And judgment, therefore, is coming. And therefore, I have poured out, verse 31, the last verse, my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath and recompensed their deeds on their own heads, says the Lord God. For the blood of our nation's sin will be on its own hands. On its own hands. This is what our nation is facing, and it is incumbent upon us to continue to preach the warning message. Otherwise, if we don't preach it, we will be partakers in the bloodshed of the land. We know what that means. We have to warn so that we're not guilty of blood. This chapter of Ezekiel's prophecy has much meaning for us today. God sent Ezekiel as a watchman who must prophesy or be guilty of blood. Ignoring this message essentially brings bloodshed on our land. As we read in verse 4, you have become guilty by the blood which you have shed. You defiled yourselves with the idols which you have made. You have caused your days to draw near and have come to the end of your years. And therefore, I have made you a reproach to the nations and a mockery to all countries. I think, brethren, if we're realistic, we see our nation fitting this prophecy today. And God found no value in Israel. She was like worthless dross of silver refining. Her trials, her difficulties didn't produce good results. That's what trials are meant to produce good results. So God is going to allow those trials to increase and get hotter and hotter, like a furnace. And he's going to leave us there. That's what he says. As men gather silver, verse 20, looking again at that one, bronze, iron, lead into the tin, into the midst of the furnace to blow fire on it, to melt it, so I will gather you in my anger and in my fury, and I will leave you there. I will leave you there in the furnace and melt you. From the prophets, to the priests, to the princes, to the people, all are corrupt. The whole land is corrupt because they're not obeying God. We have many well-meaning people who do try with the best intent to obey God and take God's word in their lives, and we do in our nation today. But what do we see as a whole, as the nation as a whole? We don't have a system that supports God's way of life. God's word is taken out of the picture. The commandments are taken out. And though the warning is being sounded, nearly no one is listening. Nearly no one is turning from their wickedness. Well, brethren, it is a negative prophecy. It certainly is. We know judgment is coming. But this is actually a great opportunity for us in the Church of God, because the light of truth will shine brighter as the world grows darker. Most will not want to hear it. As we know, we preach, but the world doesn't hear. But that doesn't absolve us of our responsibility to preach. We can become then like children of God, shining as lights in the world. As we see that judgment coming, brethren, as the prophecy of Scripture take on new life, let us be like that watchman, Ezekiel. Let's be about the work of warning our nation and our world And then we could say, like Paul did to the Ephesian elders, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God.